Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show tonight. We are pleased to have Cliff Harwin, a remarkable man who has captured a quality that maybe a lot of us have, and here to educate us on the hard work he did throughout his life, exploring how we can better serve ourselves and use this trait to our advantage, if in fact we do have this trait. Cliff is the owner of a company called A Highly Sensitive Person Publishing Company, and he's the author of a book called Making Sense of Your High Sensitivity, Discover, Develop, Maximize Your High Sensitivity Person Traits. I want to quickly point out Cliff Harwin's website. It's www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com. And you can also find that on my homepage. But please take advantage of his free ebook, which is called Real World Advice, specifically for highly sensitive people, and with a free monthly newsletter called Thoughts for the Thoughtful. And you can also get this just by visiting his website. This information is monthly with the newsletter, and it's really, really great. It really keeps you informed. And we're going to introduce Cliff right now and get started talking about what a highly sensitive person is and how we can utilize this quality to our benefit. Are you there with us, Cliff?
Yes, I am, Liz. Thank you very much
Hi.
For having me on your show, and I appreciate the wonderful introduction.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, I mean, this is really a fascinating topic, you know, and it's fairly new to us, correct?
It's fairly new to a lot of people. I only found out about this 4 years ago when I went to an adult ed class it was at the Learning Annex in New York City, and they had different classes, and I had, you know, I've been a member, and they had it on the in the catalog, and the title of the course was, Are You a Highly Sensitive Person? Now, that really struck a chord with me because I always knew that I was sensitive, but when I saw the subject matter, I was really interested, and I wanted to find out more about it. I went to the class, and it was very informative, and it really just shed a lot of light of why I was the way I, you know, why I acted the way I do. And I just, you know, it was just very, you know, one of those aha moments where you kind of try to figure out what's been going on with you, like you realize that you're different. But then when you see something and you feel that there's a reason behind it, then it really made sense. There was about 25 people in the class. About half of the class didn't know about the trait of highly sensitivity, and I was one of them. And with that, when I found out about it, I was one of the few that really felt relieved to find out about this information. A lot of people, most of the people in the class, felt that they were cursed, that they felt that this was such a bad thing. And I just felt relieved that, okay, now I understand myself, now I can go forward. Now I started to ask the instructor about you know, how many people were highly sensitive, and he mentioned that it's estimated that 15 to 20% of the population are highly sensitive. Okay, everybody has some degree of sensitivity, but when you're highly sensitive, it's an inherited character trait. And you process information. Highly sensitive people, they process information more deeply and emotionally, physically and emotionally than others.
Don't we call that maybe psychic?
Excuse me?
I said, wouldn't we kind of consider that psychic?
Well, you know, it's not psychic, but, you know, we're just affected by our environment, okay? And I've been, you know, it's something where, you know, how you just feel different in situations.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Where things affect you more. And I found that I was affected by being around, you know, groups of people, by noise. I have a need for solitude. You know, sometimes when I'm out and about too much, I just need that downtime. And I didn't realize why I needed it, and I didn't take the downtime that I needed. When I got the information about high sensitivity, I learned that I really had to take the time to rest and to take a break when I needed to. Okay, it's very important that highly sensitive people don't go above their emotional and physical capabilities. Because when things become too much emotionally and physically, your immune system is compromised, and that's how you can get ill. Okay, when you know that you're highly... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say your book really explains in sequential, you know, stages, different things about what it is, what it means, how different people are affected. But I, you know, when I was reading it, I really, when I got to the part two that talks about how you can benefit from your experiences, as you put it, how you can benefit from my experiences, which is really neat. You know, in the roadmap to a happy life, I think, you know, really helps individuals get straight to the point as far as what it means. I mean, that it's not a bad thing, that it's just, you know, something that some people have going on, and how they can better utilize and understand. You know, this is something probably very good to point out, you know, for a lot of youth, because, you know, when you're growing up and you're young and you are this highly sensitive type person, it can really interfere with your self-esteem. And if you know these traits, that you have these traits early on, you can work with that self-esteem a lot better.
Right. And that's what I found, that I wish I would have known about this years ago. As I said, I only found out about it 4 years ago. I really wish I would have known about it earlier, because I would have understood myself better. And I think this is important whether you're highly sensitive or not. I think if a person understands themselves, their whys and wherefores of how they are, I think that they can work with what they have. And I want to emphasize that being a highly sensitive person is an inherited character trait, and it's something that you shouldn't feel it. You have to get rid of. It's not a stigma. I never thought it was a stigma. Even, you know, when I found out about it, I said, okay, now I can work with it. And as I said, I was one of the few in the class when I first found out about this that really had the attitude of, okay, I'm at this point. This is a good thing. Let me work with it. And it's just a question of how you want to react to your circumstances. You know, people have the choice to act in a positive way or a negative way, and I just chose to look at it in a positive way.
Very good.
And what I try to emphasize in my book is I'm not a psychologist. I really was floundering around about whether I should write the book or not. And you know how you go back and forth where you say you can't do it, you know, internally, and, you know, you just this negative self-talk. Well, anyway, I decided to write the book based on a personal perspective. Okay, and I think that's very important. You know, some people get involved with projects and they don't feel they have the qualifications, and, you know, they can't do it because of this, that, and the other thing. Okay, if you're working on something, you can put your personal brand on it, your personal stamp on it. And I think that that's going to separate your project from others. And whether I'm speaking to a group in person or whether I'm writing, you know, whether I'm on Twitter or I'm on Facebook, I try to write and speak in a conversational tone where it's coming from, you know, myself, and I try to infuse experiences that I've had. And what I wanted to do is to, after each chapter, I pose questions to the reader how they can relate my life to theirs. So I wanted it to be a very...
Let me ask a question. When we're talking about, you know, the highly sensitive person, you know, you mentioned that you wish you would have known that you had these traits, that, you know, some of these traits that you were feeling, you wish you would have known it earlier. And then you mentioned the class as being the time of when you discovered how that was. It just seems like it's, you know, underground, this type of information, but what are some of the common traits of a highly sensitive person?
Well, common traits are, well, let's put it this way. I have most of them. Elaine Aron mentioned in her book, she had like a test of 25 questions. In fact, on my website, I have her free test, and a person can go to the website, click on the free test, and they'll have a pretty good idea whether they're a highly sensitive person. When I first took the test, when I went to the class, I answered true to most of them. In fact, maybe 24 of the 25. So I'm really on the high side of it. Characteristics of highly sensitive people, we tend to be perfectionists. Okay, now that can be a good thing because when you're working on something, you give your best effort.
Yes.
Okay, it can be a bad thing when you use your perfectionistic tendencies to want something to be too perfect and not finish something.
Yeah.
So extremes are very good. As I said, it's good and bad for that. We also tend to be conscientious, which is another good thing. I own a service business, and I'm always on time. People are amazed when, you know, if I get a call to my office, they'll be amazed that I'll call them back right away. I'm very reliable. If I say I'm going to do something,
well,
I'll be there. So that's a good thing, but it can drive you crazy when sometimes things go awry and you might not be on time. You know, that's the cell phone is a good thing because you can call, but
in a vicious cycle.
So that could be a vicious cycle. Another thing, a need for solitude. I mentioned that before, where sometimes, you know, after a day being around people, we just need that time to be by ourselves. And sometimes we don't honor that, especially if you don't know that you're highly sensitive and you don't know what your capabilities are, and sometimes we tend to just go over that.
Yes.
So that's very important. Another thing is we tend to have feelings of we're very intuitive. That's a very important thing. And I find that the biggest mistakes in life that I've made so far is when I went against my intuition, when I went against something that I knew was true and I just went against it. Okay, that could be in situations, that could be with in dealing with people. Sometimes we have feelings about people, or, you know, intuitive feelings about people, good and bad, and we highly sensitive people tend to be idealistic. In the fact that we think that everybody's good, and the fact of the matter is that some people are bad for us, and sometimes we go against that intuition even though we think somebody's bad for us. So that's another important point. Another thing is, well, for me, this isn't necessarily a highly sensitive person characteristic, but I tend to blush a lot, okay? And that could be from maybe something that I've eaten. It could be if I'm happy. It could be if I'm anxious. In fact, now I feel, and I could feel it because I could feel the heat in my face. Okay.
Well, you have a lot of success. When people visit your website, they're going to be, you know, really enlightened. Your website really organizes a lot of the things that you've done with groups and so forth. What is happening with the groups that you are involved with for highly sensitive people, and is there anyone who could be listening that might be able to benefit, you know, from joining those groups? How would they go about that?
Okay, I organized a group in March of 2008, and it's a meetup group called the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle. Now, I knew nothing about meetup.com. And it wasn't until a friend had mentioned to me saying that I should either be in a group for highly sensitive people or to organize one. So she said, go to meetup.com, put in highly sensitive people, put in your zip code, and you'll find out if there's a group that's in your area. So anyway, there wasn't a group, but there were 26 people that were interested in joining a group for highly sensitive people. So anyway, I was hemming and hawing about it, and I don't consider myself a real social person where I, you know, I get together with, in small groups. I'm not, you know, I don't see myself as organizing groups or being part of groups. I'm not really a joiner of groups. So it was really kind of a stretch for me to think that I can, that I would start a group. So anyway, in just thinking about it and talking to my friend about it, I decided I was going to do it. And whatever happened, happened. Okay, sometimes you just have to go above, you know, above your comfort zone, and sometimes you just got to give it a chance. If it was,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you just have to do it. So anyway, I decided to do it, and I became the organizer of the group, and I contacted through email 26 people, and not one of the 26 people signed up. So I thought, oh, this is going to be a dead end. This is going to be a dead end. So anyway, I decided, okay, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to reach out to other groups and meet up, you know, mention my group and you know, in my area. Anyway, since that time, I have 193 members.
Wow.
And, and I've had, you know, the thing is, I've been experimenting with different types of groups, and it turns out I live in central New Jersey, and I have members that are from, of course, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, United Kingdom. I mean, I don't know how these people found me, but it seems that highly sensitive people definitely have a need to connect, and it's kind of hard when you don't really want to get out there. So I've had 31 events over the course of time, and I've had between 2 and 35 people. And it's a combination of having lectures, having like field trips. Last week we went to the New Life Expo. It's an expo in New York City where they have holistic types of lectures and products. And it's really a good place for highly sensitive people to go, because I would think that you're going there, you know, they're interested in, you know, alternative ways of doing things, and just the type of products, the type of lectures that they had, and just the atmosphere. I would say that 95% of the people there were highly sensitive.
Well, I think the important point about your process that you're doing with your website and your understanding and bringing all this understanding out to the public is that, you know, you really are helping individuals who struggle with this kind of thing every day, and maybe labeled depressive or with some other kind of personality issue, disorder, whatever. When actually it's not necessarily in that realm. It's more of, you know, just something that, like everyone, you know, they have to work with. And I know, you know, many people struggle with things from early on, you know, when they get up, you know, and they're getting older, and they start realizing, you know, how they're interacting with people, you know, how they're maintaining a job, how everything feels, how it affects them. You know, it's important to understand the highly sensitive nature of someone. You know, what are some possible careers that highly sensitive people are best suited for?
Okay, well, possible careers would be, since we are a creative lot and a deep thinking lot, writing is a good career for highly sensitive people, artists, also graphic designers, you know, something in the artistic field, something in the creative field, you know, like a personal trainer, nurses, doctors, clergy people. These are possible, you know, career choices. You know, we like to be helpful. That's another thing too. Also, like a copywriter, copy editor, we're very quick to look at something, and we can pick out mistakes. I'm pretty good with that, and that definitely helps me with my writing, where I can look at something, and whether it be an advertisement in a on a sign or something like that, I can pick out mistakes, and I can pick out my own mistakes and others too.
A lot of people have a tendency to look at the fact that somebody looks at a mistake somebody made and say, well, you know, you're being negative, you know, but, you know, in fact, you really need to understand, you know, the process of, knowing what's wrong in order to make it right, in order to correct it, because we aren't
right.
always set up to do something right the first time. So, it's definitely, but you know, the way it works, you have to know what's wrong to make something right, you know.
It's not necessarily something wrong, because everybody has different characteristics and idiosyncrasies, and no one is perfect, okay? I don't look at I really want to emphasize the positive aspect of being highly sensitive, because you can always work with negative things. Everybody has a thing. Sometimes an event in childhood can affect you in certain ways, and sometimes that could cause you to have, like, shy tendencies, for example. That could be a possible HSP thing where some people might have shy tendencies. But I spoke to Elaine Aaron about this, and she mentioned that shyness is not necessarily an inherited trait. Being highly sensitive is. And shyness can be inherited, but also it could be due to a circumstance that happened in childhood that could actually cause you to have shy tendencies. Okay, for a personal example, in my case, I had a very bad experience in grammar school where a teacher would constantly embarrass me in front of other kids. That affected me throughout my school years, and it kind of still affects me today, because a big fear that I have as a highly sensitive person is the fear of looking stupid, something that looks perfect. Okay, so that's a big fear. That's a big fear. And it's something that I still struggle with, but what I'm doing now is really going above my comfort zone and writing a book about my life and also doing interviews and doing, you know, public things. I find that I really have a deep belief in what I do, and I'm really motivated to do it. And when your motivation overcomes the fear, that's how you get things done. And that's how you know you're on the right track.
Well, I think a lot of people listening, you know, might think, well, what makes this so different from, you know, manic depressive or bipolar? Or what makes this different, is it a psychologically diagnosed disorder? I think most of what we want to differentiate with people is how this is a trait as opposed to a disorder.
Okay. Like you mentioned, like bipolar or, you know, depression, things like that. That's a chemical disorder, and that should really be diagnosed by a professional.
Yes.
Okay? So that's something where, you know, sometimes you might need medication, sometimes you need therapy. Talk therapy is very important for highly sensitive people as well. You don't necessarily have to have, quote, a disorder. But you kind of, you know, if something is very excessive and it keeps you from living your everyday life, then you know you need a medical evaluation. And that's something where highly sensitive people, we just, you know, things affect us more emotionally and physically. And it's not necessarily a chemical disorder, it's just a part of an inherited trait. And it's something that, it's a good thing when you understand it and you can work with it and you can utilize it. Because there's an awful lot of positive.
Give me an example of a trait that might be considered highly sensitive, and then tell me how a person would use that trait to their benefit.
Okay. Deep thinking. That's a trait of highly sensitive people. Deep thinking, we could use that to our benefit because we can probably make better decisions when we give something more thought. Okay, sometimes we can't come up with a decision right away. Okay, sometimes we kind of have to get the information, mull it over, and then think about it. And, you know, chances are the odds of us making a better decision are better when we have the time to think it out. Okay, we should never feel pressured to come up with a decision right away if we're not comfortable with it.
Well,
okay?
I think highly sensitive, what I read in your book and what I interpreted when it came to the deep thinking, because there's a lot of deep thinkers, there's a lot of managers out there, you know, CEOs of companies that are capable of making quick decisions and have to go into making that decision based on, you know, some real strategic planning. But I think with a highly sensitive person and the deep thinking aspect, is I think it's like you said, it's more of a philosophical thing. We are very philosophical by nature. We look at the deep aspects of the universe, and we look at, you know, we're very conscientious of people's movements, people's, you know, speaking,
right.
how they speak. We're dissecting every second of the day what's happening around us. You know, why is it happening that way? Which to me sounds more like a scientist.
Well, it can be, and everybody has their style. Now, highly sensitive people are capable of making quicker decisions, but it, you know, you really have to know what your style is. If your style is, okay, get the information, then make the decision, then that's it. With me,
right.
I kind of have to take my time. That's something that's it's an individual thing where a person really has to know. See, that's the key. Once you know yourself, you'll be able to work with the best style that you have to make the decision that you need to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Go ahead. No, your website really lays out a lot of information for people, and there's a lot of good information that you know, that people can get there if they're listening and they're saying, well, am I or aren't I, and how do I know, and how do I take that self-test? I think your website, again, I want to just point that out because, you know, in order for people listening to understand what this really is and whether or not they feel that they are, but I want to, you know, utilize this time to help people who may have some traits along this line, you know, get some understanding and help and feel some relief because it's I guess it's considered more of an overactive nervous system.
Yeah, it's an overactive nervous system. That basically means that we just process information more deeply, okay? Noise might affect us more. Sounds, being around people, that's a big thing. Also, we might be more sensitive to medication, caffeine. That's a big one with me. I was never really a coffee drinker. It's not that I don't like coffee, but instinctively I knew that it wasn't the right thing for me. Okay. Years ago, my favorite soda was Mountain Dew, and that's just loaded with caffeine.
Oh, it is.
So that kind of told me, you know what? That's why I was jumping a lot of the times when I was drinking the soda. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of being aware of, okay, this caffeine sensitivity there, I got to cut it out.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, it's definitely a situation where, I know that they have something in the brain called a fight or flight system.
Right.
And it sounds a lot like, what can happen if the fight or flight system is off balance too, you know, having to do with the hypothalamus part of the brain. But again, that gets into a more of a physiological, you know, explanation of something similar to this. But, you know, I wonder how much scientific studies have been done about this.
Well, Elaine Aron did the initial research, and she wrote a book in 1996 called The Highly Sensitive Person. Okay, as I said, I only found out about her book 4 years ago. And when I went to the class the first time, I asked how many people really knew about this information, and he said very few. And that's when I started to think about writing my book, because I was always into self-help information. I really didn't know about this. So that's how I started with that. But with the self-test that's on the website that she did, she went through extensive interviews, and her test is very accurate. It's very accurate. So if you take the test and you answer true to most of them or a lot of them, you're going to know whether you are or not.
You know, I'm wondering, you know, when we look at the highly sensitive person, you know, as a whole, what differentiates that from someone with an anxiety disorder?
Well, anxiety disorder is something that needs to be treated medically, psychologically.
Uh-huh.
Okay, with us, we don't need that we donate that intervention. And that's something that it's a personal thing. We have to know whether something is obsessive or not. Okay, and that's, you know, that could be something that's inherited too. So if you find that you can't go out, or if you have, you know, symptoms of these symptoms, then you're going to know that you need to get help further. Okay, with me, you know, I do have a tendency to, you know, to get very excited, and to, you know, anxiety over the course of time has made me sick. And it's not a disorder. It's just part of my nature where I didn't understand it, and I didn't work with it, where I didn't have the rest that I needed. I didn't take the break that I needed. You know, not getting enough sleep. I mean, just a whole bunch of things. And sometimes,
yeah, I know. That's
it. And sometimes you kind of just let life get to you, and it overwhelms you. That's another key word for highly sensitive people. They have a heightened sense of overwhelm. So that's something we need to work with.
It's like ADD, although ADD does have medicinal intervention. You know, we know they prescribe mostly for ADHD, but they also sometimes prescribe for ADD. But it sounds very, very similar. In years ago, we did not recognize, you know, the ADD aspects. Obviously, ADD also carries other situations. Dysfunctional family life can definitely cause ADD. But
right.
You see that in your childhood, when you read your book, you know, you mentioned that your life was very much like Leave It to Beaver, you know, that your parents
were
similar to that.
I come from a good family.
Yeah, it was
and
organized.
And it's something that, you know, it can affect anyone. And you mentioned ADD, which is, you know, lack of focus, where you're thinking all over the place. I have a tendency to, because I think about things and I'm just aware of everything around me, it's just natural that sometimes I can lose focus on things. The
mm-hmm.
difference between the lack of focus that I have and ADD is sometimes you need the medical intervention with that, and that's something that can only be evaluated by a medical professional.
Yeah, I think the highly sensitive person, in a nutshell, is just, it's like a limbo in a way, you know, because you're really not manic depressive, you're not bipolar, you're not obsessive compulsive, you're just, simply kind of, just really overreacting to a lot of different things or underreacting to a lot of different things.
Right,
and it's
right.
Great. That you've organized this program to, help people understand that they're not alone, because that's one of the biggest things to do, you know, that people feel is I'm alone at this. I'm the only one.
Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of comments that I do mention a lot of things in my book, and also if I do lectures or teleconferences or things like that, I try to, you know, tell about personal experiences. And I mentioned that talk therapy has been a very important part of me coping with things because, you have different life events where it's just hard to cope with.
Yeah.
And it's highly sensitive people have a tendency to try to take care of their problems by themselves. We're self-reliant, but that's good, but it's not a bad thing to ask it and seek for help when you need it. And that's good advice for anyone, whether they're highly sensitive or not. Get the help you need. The problem is that the help isn't there. The help is there. It's just a question of us seeking the help. That's something else that I wanted to point out too.
Yeah, benefits of your one of the benefits you talked about in your book of how you started to work with your understanding of the highly sensitive nature was journaling, which
yes.
I find journaling to be really good, good way.
Well, you know what? I didn't think of it as a journal. And you know how you try to, how you do something? I did this over the course of years where, sometimes you want to do something and you don't, there's no rhyme or reason why you want to do it. I just had notes of different parts of my life over a course of 15, 20 years. and thinking that, you know, just writing about my life. Now, I didn't know that I was going to write about it in the, you know, in the format that I have, but sometimes my intuition told me that I needed to journal things about my life. Now, in doing that over a course of 15, 20 years, that was the basis of my book. I also have a habit of, I read two newspapers a day, and I'm an article clipper. Sometimes I just clip articles out that interest me. And I've done this for many years, too. No rhyme or reason why I did it, but I'm finding now that it's helping me in doing the things that I'm doing with the, you know, with my publishing company, whether it be writing a book, whether it be doing teleclasses, because it stimulates thought and it stimulates different
topics.
And this is before the internet, where I started to do the article clipping. With the internet, I mean, you can get the information is just unlimited.
Yeah, the internet is really what's helping us join together tonight. And the internet is a great thing, and I just think it was just one of the best things we could have ever brought into our society, if we use it right, like anything else.
Well, that's it. We don't want to become over-reliant on the internet, because it's easy for people to be more isolated, people that don't want to get out, which is one of the reasons why I started the group, because it's technology has made it very easy for us not to go out. And I really feel that it's very important, I feel very strongly that it's very important that highly sensitive people get meet each other. And I only found that out when I went to a seminar. This is before I wrote the book. I went to a seminar in Lenox, Massachusetts, and I met Elaine Aaron, was giving a 3-day seminar. In fact, I have a free book excerpt of the chapter where I met Elaine Aaron. So if they go to my website at www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com, they'll see book excerpt, and it'll tell you what happened when I met Elaine Aaron. But basically, it was the first time I ever met other highly sensitive people in a group setting. And it was very enlightening. It was very, I just felt very empowered, and I felt better about myself as a highly sensitive person. And I thought, you know what, maybe at some point I want to get other highly sensitive people together. So as I was starting to write the book, I think, okay, I want to write the book and get information out there, but I want to have a vehicle to get other highly sensitive people together. And when my friend mentioned the meetup group, I'm thinking, well, maybe this might be my way to do it. So I'm still experimenting with different types of events, but I do want to utilize the technology. I do want to have webinars on different subjects that would be helpful to highly sensitive people.
Yeah, I noticed that you have something called, and I wanted you to explain a little bit of it before we have to close out the show. What is the I Believe in the Power of Purpose? What's that about?
The Power of Purpose. Okay, as I said, I read two newspapers a day. The local newspaper, the Home News Tribune, had they were looking for submissions for the Power of Purpose, and they wanted you to actually give you like a 500-word essay of what the Power of Purpose means to you. And I submitted it, and they accepted it right away, and it was in there. In fact, what I want to offer to your listeners is I can send a PDF of the article, and it tells about how I'm living my purpose. So if they want to, you know, send me an email, or, you know, they could send me an email at clip@thehighlysensitiveperson.com and mention Power of Purpose, I will send them a PDF file of the article.
Okay. Yeah, that's also on your website, though, correct?
You know what? I don't think that I have the Power of Purpose on there. I'm not sure if I have it, but if people email me, I can definitely send it out.
Definitely give it to them. Well,
okay.
So what is your upcoming events that you're going to be having that are going to be? I know you mentioned something about some upcoming meetings or.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm really gearing up. In fact, the past couple of months, I've been setting up field trips to mind-body expos, health expos, and that's something that I mentioned the New Life Expo. That was last week in New York City. One coming up is in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And also there's another one in Kendall Park, New Jersey, which is where I live. And then there's another one the following week in Eatontown. Now, the reason why I wanted to set up field trips to these particular types of venues is because they have lectures, vendors, a hotbed of highly sensitive people. And I thought it would be a good way for us to get out there and just, you know, experience this. Also, I'm gearing up for programs in 2010. I want to, I still want to explore the technology regarding webinars, but I want to get into some subjects. I've done this in the past, but I really want to get into topics that would be of interest to highly sensitive people, such as how to make a decision. We mentioned that before. How to be assertive. How to cope with difficult people. These are among, you know, other topics that I want to do. So what I'd like to do is to have teleconferences, and also I would have handouts of the topic.
And it would be quick. I think that's a great direction that you're going to be going in. That's, you know, I hope you're writing all that down so you can constantly keep it there and take it step by step because it's needed. I want to really thank you. This has just been phenomenal and very educational and very helpful because it is a frustrating situation, highly sensitive, you know, the highly sensitivity, and it can really hinder you. And I think it's an excellent thing for young adults because I think that's probably where it starts, you know, getting.
Well, that's the, you mentioned that. I really like to do programs for kids, and I want to gear up for that too.
Yeah.
So these are all things that I really have in the pipeline, and I'm really excited. And I hope that other highly sensitive people can get excited in a project that they're going to work in. And I look at my upcoming years as good years. And we've all made mistakes in the past, and you know you can always learn from your mistakes. But I feel that the experiences that I've had over a course of time was like practice for what I'm doing now. So
exactly.
I'm really excited about the future.
Exactly. And with what you've got in place, it can't go wrong. And, you know, with the webinars and all the teleconferences and different things that you're going to be doing and the how to make a decision and all the subtopics, you know, spread out, you know, can really assist a lot of people from having to stay hidden, you know, from from the world, you know, so I think that's really important.
Basically, the purpose of my work is to really educate highly sensitive people about their trait and for them to feel good about themselves. And if I've done that, I'm really accomplishing what I want to do.
I really want to thank you so very much. I'm sure we'll be talking again. We're probably going to do another show. I hope that you would like that. And but I want to thank you for tonight and, just keep up what you're doing. And I hope all the listeners are aware of where they can find you. I have you on my homepage, so anyone listening, you can definitely find his website there. It's www.highlysensitiveperson.com. And I want to thank you, Cliff.
I want to thank you, Liz, for having me. I enjoyed it.
Oh, it was really great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
So you're stuffing a raw chicken full of lemon and tarragon, and you're sweating because, A, you can fit a lot of lemon and tarragon inside a chicken, and, B, your date is arriving soon and you still haven't opened wine or put on music or set the mood, but you do have an Amazon Echo, so you say,
Alexa, turn on date night.
Okay.
And just like that, romantic music begins to play, the lights are dimmed, and all you have to do is pour the wine right after you wash your hands thoroughly.
Alexa, you're amazing.
My pleasure.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.